Good morning. Good Monday morning. It is June the 17th in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin a new week with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Did You Receive the Holy Spirit When You Believed? Our text is Acts chapter 19 this week, today verses 1 through 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, Then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Here's the question we should ask more often. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And we should begin by asking the question of ourselves. Okay, I'll go first. For me, the answer is yes and no. I was baptized as a baby in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I'm certain I received the Holy Spirit, and yet I had no idea of it. I believe the Holy Spirit protected and preserved and prepared me for the day when I could claim faith for myself. At the age of 12, I was baptized again. Whether my record slipped through the ecclesiological cracks or the pastor adjudged that my first baptism didn't take, I know not. Did I receive the Holy Spirit again? I'm not sure. The confusing thing about today's text surrounds whether these disciples were actually Christians or not. They had John's baptism, which was not Christian baptism. Yet they believed. I'm just not sure how to sort this. Here's a shot. A person is not saved by baptism, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism publicly seals faith with an outward sign of an inward grace. Frankly, I don't think a person can believe in Jesus Christ without the active working of the Holy Spirit. So, whether a true believer has heard about the Holy Spirit or not, they have, in point of fact, received the Holy Spirit if they have indeed exercised saving faith in Jesus Christ. Back to my 12-year-old self. I suppose by then I had heard of the Holy Spirit, but that was about the extent of it. So again, for me, the answer to the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed, was yes and no. In retrospect, I survived junior high, high school, and most of college doing my best to be a Christian while living a fairly compromised life without any real sense of this gift of God, i.e. the Holy Spirit, apparently lying dormant in my soul. I can't speak for the Ephesians in today's text, but for me, the issue was not baptism, but discipleship. No one ever really taught me about the Holy Spirit. I don't blame them, because I have become convinced that no one really taught them about the Holy Spirit. Near the end of college, I began studying the Bible I had been reading daily for all these years. I read about receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled by the Holy Spirit, and about the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and grieving the Holy Spirit and quenching the Holy Spirit. I remember reading that the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead actually dwelled in my mortal body. In those days, I probably asked no less than a dozen ordained ministers what it meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit. None of them had any real idea of what I was asking them. They told me I got the Holy Spirit when I was baptized, and that was about it. I knew there had to be more. I made it all the way to seminary before an aging gentleman by the name of J.T. Siemens took me on as a protege and discipled me into the awareness, attentiveness, and living experience of the indwelling Holy Spirit. I've been on that journey ever since. Looking back, for all practical purposes, I was a functional Ephesian. I had heard of the Holy Spirit, but I had no idea who he was. In my humble yet considered judgment, next to a Christian understanding of the Word of God, the greatest need of the people of God today is to be deeply discipled into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful to be on that journey with you even now. The prayer. Father, how we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who brings Jesus from being with us to being in us, who brings us inside the inner courts of the fellowship of heaven right here on earth. Would you lead me into the fullness of the Holy Spirit, bringing me into a discipleship beyond what I have known before? Even if I feel like I already know, wake me up to realize that there is more that I don't know than I do know. Would you bring me into the knowing beyond knowledge, that I might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God in this life? Praying in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompts. How about you? What's your Holy Spirit story along the lines of today's entry? You know, not maybe something the Holy Spirit did somewhere along the way through your ministry or your relationships, but like in you. What's the Holy Spirit in you story? And then where is the growing edge of your soul right now? For our hymn today, we're going to sing one of the classic Holy Spirit hymns. It's called Holy Spirit, Light Divine. You can find it on page 320 of our seedbed hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. 320, Holy Spirit, Light Divine. It's a short hymn, but it's very potent. We'll sing all five verses. Holy Spirit, light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. Chase the shades of night away. Turn my darkness into day. Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon this soul of mine. Word of God and inward light, wake my spirit, clear my sight. Holy Spirit, love divine, glow within this heart of mine. Kindle every high desire, perish self in thy pure fire. Holy Spirit, joy divine, cheer this saddened heart of mine. Bid my many woes depart, heal my wounded, bleeding heart. Holy Spirit, power divine, dwell within this heart of mine. Cast down every idle throne, reign supreme and reign alone. Amen. That's good. That's a prayer. You know, I'm talking in the entry today about being discipled in the Holy Spirit, and that, golly, that's more than half of the whole equation, isn't it? I read this hymn actually is a means of such discipleship. The way the prayer goes, this thing's been around for a few hundred years, or more than that. Look at what the invitation is. Shine upon, dawn upon, shine upon this heart, dawn upon this soul, glow within this heart, cheer this saddened heart, dwell within this heart. This is participating. This is a certainly a very scriptural hymn. But it's getting, you know, the Holy Spirit from concept to actual lived, experienced reality. I've not really ever sang this hymn, hardly. I don't ever remember singing it in church. But there are many hymns like this. We all need more of the Spirit, right? The fullness of the Holy Spirit is a kind of fullness that is ever admitting of more of Him. He is ever willing to expand our capacities for more of God. I wonder how many of you were touched by this lyric. Holy Spirit, joy divine, cheer this saddened heart of mine. Bid my many woes depart. Heal my wounded, bleeding heart. I heard someone say the other day that the depth of sorrow and suffering that a person has experienced, that's the depth of the joy of the Holy Spirit that they can experience. So be encouraged. Press in the midst of that kind of sadness and that kind of wounded. Heal my wounded, bleeding heart. The Spirit wants to bring joy to us in the midst of that kind of sorrow. And I mean, that's just a small piece of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does and is doing. And I'd love for y'all to look at Seedbed. We've published a lot of resource on, because we find that while we may have a good doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we have an anemic. So many of us and our churches have an anemic experience. You need both. You need doctrine. You need experience. We've got a book we published by Matt Ayers, A-Y-A-R-S, called The Holy Spirit, An Introduction. There's a video resource with it. It's really just solid, basic teaching on who the Spirit is and what the Spirit does, how the Spirit works in a Trinitarian context and framework. There's so much wacky teaching out there on the Holy Spirit that it can cause for us to sort of shy away. We all need deeper discipleship in the ways of the Spirit, in the work of the Spirit. We need to learn to talk about the working of the Holy Spirit. One of our banding questions is, how might the Word of God and the Spirit of God be speaking in my life? Where if you're in a band, you're asking that question every single time you get together. There's no need to eschew or negate our past experience. The Lord has been working in all of it. There's no need to blame the church for failing us on teaching us about the Holy Spirit. They were doing their best. They gave us what they had and what they knew, and oftentimes they didn't have and didn't know, you know, what they needed to have and know. Most important thing is to pick up today, to make an altar, and your knees will suffice is that place. Just make an altar and open up your soul and invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and flood my soul? Would you fill my heart? Would you wash my mind? Would you inebriate me with the love of God? Would you cause for me to become caught up and sanctified, made holy by you, such that my life might realize the purposes of heaven that you have ordained for me while on earth, and then to enjoy you forever on the shores of unceasing praise, as my dear friend Ernesto often speaks of. Praying all of that in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Amen. Yeah, well, we've got to close out here today. I think it's still Monday, isn't it? We've got to get on the field and activate as the agents, the witnesses of Jesus. You know, you can pray that prayer all day long. Come, Holy Spirit. Just try to grow in your conscious awareness of the Spirit of God like breath. That's one of the ways that, you know, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Guys, I could keep going. I got to stop. We'll pick it back up later. Listen, I'll see you on the field today. I love you. Bye. For the Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.